Do you know what? It's weird, isn't it? When it's not weird, it's God. When, you know, you've written a sermon, and you've got your two-hour sermon ready for delivering, and then the worship says, oh, I just love it. You know, it's how good is that? Turn to Luke chapter 4. So we're in, we've got the word up. So we're in our third talk in our series that we've entitled Empowered. And our what God is saying to us at the moment is, I want you to step up now into something which I've got for you, which is that new level of confidence and authority. Even you, Mike, even you. And today I want to look now, please have a listen to the podcast. Adrian spoke in a couple of weeks ago about being a new warrior and you know, fantastic talk there about empire. And Dave was really passionate. My mum was listening to you, Dave, and she said, oh, Dave, he was really passionate, wasn't he? So that's what my mum was saying. So my mum listens to all these talks, so I have to be really careful. What about what I say? Not that I'd ever say anything bad about my mum. She's amazing. Real witness and testimony. So please have a listen to those. So today I want to look at what does it mean for us as real human beings to be empowered by God. To be empowered by God. And we're going to start off in Luke chapter 4. And as the good tradition of Tom, I've changed this sermon about 12 different times. So this is version number 12. And it says this, Luke chapter 4, and it's a go-to verse, isn't it? I mean, you know the one I'm going to say to you. When Jesus has just been battling with the devil in the wilderness, and then he goes to the synagogue and he opens up the Torah. And Adrian referred to this, and I think we've said it so many times. He says, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. That great messianic declaration, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Wow. I mean, full stop. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Yes. And anointed in Greek is krio, where Christ comes from. And krio is someone who is set apart for special service under divine direction. Every time it's used, that's what it means. Someone who is set apart for special service under divine direction. Not Mike's direction, not your direction, nobody else's direction, but God's direction. Set apart and anointed. It is an empowering from God. And Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Two, proclaim good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Anybody who's not heard the good news. Good news to the poor. To proclaim freedom from the prisoners, those who are enslaved, whether that's physically or mentally or emotionally. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free. This is a chain-breaking sermon, declaration from Jesus. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which obviously for the Jewish people meant so much more than it might mean to us. The year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year. Jesus says, I have come to do that because the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And when it says he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. I love that bit. And I love the next bit. And it says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And you just imagine that, just like fix. I mean, there's gonna come a time when he's coming on the clouds of glory and every single eye will be fastened on him. But this is that other moment. All the eyes were fastened on him. What's he mean? What's he going to say? It's kind of like nothing more needs to be said. Sometimes we need less words and more Jesus. Sometimes we need less words and more Jesus. We were praying in the prayer meeting before, and this always happens. You know, I have this wonderful sermon ready, and we were praying. Lois was praying there about relationship, and it's about relationship. And that's it. Go home. That's it now. Fantastic. Just about relationship. Less words, more Jesus. It's what we need in our lives. And then in verse 22, it says this, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips, which sounds nice, but it's a little bit like, oh, didn't he do well? If you remember, who remembers Brucey? Didn't he do well? That's lost on everybody apart from me today. Didn't he do well? It's kind of like a bit patronizing in some ways. I mean, it sounds nice, doesn't it? But, oh, yeah, he spoke. Really, I remember doing my first talk in church, United Reformed Church, and these lovely older ladies there would say, well done, you did well. That was lovely. And that was great. You know, it's real encouragement. But that's a little bit like what they were doing to Jesus here. He's just declared he's the Messiah. Oh, didn't he do well? No, that's a nice little gracious little talk. And then they drop a bombshell. And they say, isn't this Joseph's son? Put him in his place. Jesus is declaring his messianic power. I am empowered to set the prisoners free. Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't let him get too high and mighty. So God is proclaiming anointing and empowerment over our lives, over you and me. Do you remember Annie Ekin standing up? I still remember it. You standing up here and you just speaking out confidence. Have confidence in God. You may have forgotten it, but I just remember it. And I don't know if you were singing it or if you were saying it. I just love it when you do that, Annie Ekin. And it was just like, have confidence in God. Have confidence in God. Have confidence in you. In who you are in God. And God is saying the same thing now. He's proclaiming anointing and empowerment over our lives. He's saying we have authority as people set apart for special service under divine direction, but the enemy wants to disempower us through the words of others or our own words. Aren't you the one who failed and messed up and slipped and forgot and denied and denied? Aren't you the one who doesn't understand, who still slips and fails and doubts and stumbles, who isn't as smart or as clever or as strong or as holy as everybody else? Isn't that you? And you're telling me that God's empowering you? And the enemy will come in. I'll talk a little bit about the tricks of the enemy. And he will come in and begin to tempt us to compare ourselves to other people. We compare our churches to other churches. We compare ourselves to other leaders or Christians or worship leaders or whatever it might be. God says, stop comparing yourself, because I've given you an anointing that nobody else has. That nobody else has. I've given you a place that nobody else has. But I want you to step into the power that I've got for you. The anointing that I've got for you. I've set you apart. And the devil will do everything to keep us in our human place instead of taking up our rightful heavenly place as the one who, as Peter says, Paul says in 2 Peter, Peter says, as ones who participate in the divine nature. I mean, that's a great phrase, isn't it? That we participate in the divine nature. That's worth just thinking about for a little bit. What does that mean? Maybe go home and study that one for a bit. So they say this, isn't this Joseph's son? And so Jesus goes into battle and he says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. What is Jesus doing there? He is demonstrating to us how to break free from the disempowering words of the enemy spoken through those around us. And what he's doing is he's saying, shake it off. And we've done this before, haven't we? And sometimes we just need to almost physically shake off those things that are stopping us from becoming who God has called us to be. It's just you, Mike. You're being proud. You're being above your station. You know, there are times in our life, especially in our society, you know, you're not meant to rise up above the parapet, are you, in our society? In great British society, we're meant to be humble, humble, humble. And God says, shake it off, because I've got something for you to do. Yeah. And sometimes we actually need to shake it off. You remember Mark in the chains there, and we're all praying that Wendy had forgotten the key, but she hadn't. And Mark shook off those chains that were just binding him up. Sometimes that's what we've got to do, whatever it might be, because they're bearing down on us. And he says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And God wants especially the prophets to speak up, not shut up. He wants us to rise up, not shrink back. And guess what the enemy wants? He wants you to shut up. He wants you to shrink back. Well, if that's what he wants, then obviously the opposite is what God wants. The enemy wants to fill our minds with doubt and despair, but God wants to flood our lives with his power. The enemy wants to fill your hearts with fear and anxiety, but God wants to flood your life with his power. The enemy wants to fill your soul with guilt and shame, but God wants to flood your life with his power. When the enemy whispers that we are weak and useless, declare to ourselves, I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. Not even who I say I am. I am who God says I am. And throughout the Gospels, we just see ordinary people like you and me with their faults and their past. And I just love it. How Jesus picks these people, and they're people that other people wouldn't have picked. And they join his army. They join his disciples. And they start to move in power. We see in Luke chapter 10. It's a great passage. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 says, Jesus sent out all of these people. He didn't go with them. He sent out these 72 disciples. Off you go and begin to do what you've seen me doing. So off they go. And I don't know how they felt when they went off. They must have felt, I'm not sure. You know, it's like when you get some of these people coming along, you know, as it Mark Greenwood and people like that come and they do a little workshop, and part of you thinking, oh no, he's going to get us to do it. So it's like you're there for the Saturday, and now we're going to go into Ormskirk. Oh no, we're going to go into Ormskirk and start to do what Mark is really good at doing. And so I don't know if the disciples felt that about Jesus. I think, but you know what? You've been raising the dead and healing the lepers, and now you want us to go out. And then in verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. To us. Yeah. They even submit to us in your name. And he replies something really interesting. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, you know, the place of authority. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the place of authority. And then he says something else really interesting. He says, I have given you authority. I have given you tax collectors, and you whatever else you've been in your past, you fishermen that couldn't fish, I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. It's dynamite, isn't it? However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So it's where we are in heaven. It's a heavenly place that we rejoice in. So Satan tries to take authority over us, but it's a false authority. And as we step out in power, he falls from the place of authority. Instead of Satan being in heaven, we are. And then we get to the end of the journey. So we've gone through Luke, and you can read all through Luke. It's great. I'm reading on the Bible app all the way through Luke, just finishing it. And we get to Luke 24. So all these amazing things have been happening. The disciples have seen, and then we get to this point in Luke 24 where Jesus had been crucified, and the disciples had gone to the tomb and they found it empty, and they're on this road to Emmaus, and then Jesus joins them. And in verse 15 of Luke 24 it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing? And it says this, it says, they stood still, their faces downcast. The risen Jesus was next to them, but their faces were down and they were standing still. It was Tuesday morning of this week, I woke up and I just felt overwhelmed. You know, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you've ever felt overwhelmed, but I'm guessing most people put their hand up. I just felt overwhelmed on Tuesday morning with things. And I'm not saying that's just like a one-off. It's happened before. You know, sometimes just life, doesn't it? You just got the list that you can't get to the, I'm a completer. I'm like Carl, I'm a completer finisher. And I do these lists. I make the mistake of making lists. I get to number 72. And I kind of think, I'm not going to finish this. And then you feel overwhelmed, don't you? I haven't got the capacity for this, Lord. And things happen that kind of dishearten you. You kind of like people say something or something doesn't go the way you want. And I woke up on Tuesday morning kind of feeling a little bit, dare I say, feeling a little bit hopeless. That's kind of, I'm being honest, that's kind of how I felt, you know, because I just want us to be on the same page here. And so I did what I'm going to call it a power move. Okay, a bit like WWE, isn't it? So a bit of a power move. And I wasn't in the place to be able to get the full Bible out. And I wasn't in the place to get my journal out. I was just like, everything's in my head. So I opened up my Bible app on my phone. Da, 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 da. It's not always a good idea to go to your phone. to get some encouragement. But I've got this Bible app, the YouVersion one. If you haven't got it, get it. It's great. And I opened it up on the day that it was meant to be. And it said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And do you know, my car journey into work was so different. It was great. I just kept on saying, greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he than your list. Greater is he than those situations you're going to deal with at work. Greater is he than whatever it is you're going through. Greater is he than your feelings. Greater is he than those relationships. Greater is he than those struggles and those challenges. Greater is he than that future that you think you can't cope with. Well, God is greater than that, and he can help you cope with it. He can help you get through that, and he has done.
Amen.
And it's not been an easy week this week. You know, I don't know who's had a great week this week. I hope some of you have. But, you know, it's probably been a roller coaster like it usually is. But, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is. Yeah. And the amazing bit of that is in me.
Yeah.
It's in me. It's in you. It's in me. It's, how astounding is it? And the disciples on verse 18, as Jesus saying, well, what's been going on? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Obviously, Jesus did, but he's egging them on a little bit. And he says, what things, he asked. And then they say, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And then this is interesting. He was a prophet. Past tense. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one. It says that in the word of God. But we had hoped, we used to believe that he was the one. They've buried Jesus and that's it, the end. But what is the end of the story for us is just the beginning of the story for God. And I don't, you know, and people have said that in so many different ways, and sometimes it just hits you. What we think is the end of the story for us is the beginning of the story for God. I wasn't going to say this, but I was in the hospital yesterday praying with Alan, and for those who knew Alan, I mean, Alan was the closest thing to hugging God that I've ever experienced. Yeah. For those who knew Alan, Alan was a guy that was in this church, and when I first came to this church, and such a lovely guy, and he would put arms around you and you'd come away smelling of Alan. That's how tight he would hug you. And thankfully, he smelled good. So that was good. And he was just like that. And seriously, for some people that are either not used to that or need that, you know, that's such a, you know, it's more than words. It's so amazing, isn't it? And on the... So it was such a privilege to be able to pray with Alan yesterday. And on the same day, the Ipswich town were promoted to the Premier League. Alan was promoted.
Yeah.
It was not the end of the story for Alan. It was just the beginning yesterday.
Yes.
Amen. And Alan passed away yesterday. And now he is dancing, rejoicing, and singing Elvis songs in front of Jesus. How exciting. It's never, ever, 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 ever the end of the story with God.
No.
Never the end of the story with God. Never, ever, ever the end of the story with God. It is always the beginning. Always when we turn to him. Always the beginning. Wow. But you know, the enemy loves to disempower us by using our circumstances to lower our expectations. And Dave spoke but expectations last week, to lower our faces, to keep us standing still. And the hope that we had hasn't turned into the reality we thought it would, and so our faces go down. And Jesus then, he gets full on with the disciples. He says, how foolish you are. Sometimes we need stop being so foolish. We need to wake up a little bit. Sometimes we need it between the eyes. And he unpacks scripture until they eventually realize who's speaking with them. Spending time with Jesus, looking to Jesus, it changes our perspective. We need to make power moves. When we're tempted to doubt, we believe. When we're tempted to curse, we bless. When we're tempted to give up, we press on. When we're tempted to moan, we rejoice. God told us a little while ago in Haggai, give careful thought to your ways. And God's been doing that with me. You know, and I've been a worship leader for many years. I love worshiping. And love playing the guitar. I'm really into worship. But I realized that in my life, I'd got into a moaning place. Has anybody else got... No, don't put your hand up. Got into a moaning place. And I come along to worship on a Sunday morning. Yeah. And Monday morning, moan. You know, oh, life's hard, life's difficult, all that kind of thing. Poor Adrienne. I mean, Adrienne's put up with so much with me, and she's a blessing. But, you know, God was just challenging me, give careful thought to your ways. I hope you've been doing that. And he's just been gently showing me that, Mike, you've been cursing, not rejoicing. And so God has been challenging me to turn my cursing into rejoicing. Cursing of myself, cursing of my circumstances, cursing of others, dare I say. Not working hard enough. Not doing what they should be doing. Oh, dear. No, a blessing. I shared a little a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, about when the school where I'm the head teacher at got broken into. You know, Saturday afternoon, it was Sunday, I think it was. I can't remember now. And just get a call from the security. Out you come. They're broken into school. You're driving in. Got no idea what they've stolen. Like I shared before, got there. They'd taken some biscuits. I mean, that was it. They got it was obviously kids broke in and got biscuits and a fire extinguisher. And you get there, and do you know what the enemy wanted me to do? And to be honest with you, to start with, I was going down this route to curse those people who broke into the school. How dare they break into my school? And God says, bless them. This is your chance to pray for them. Maybe nobody's prayed for them ever before in their whole lives. You don't even know who they are, but pray for them. Bless them. And God sent me some beautiful people, a locksmith and a security person. Somebody recently, like they were all at 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. Beautiful people. It was so nice just being with them. And God was saying, pray for them too, pray for them too. So, you know, God has just been teaching me to try to get to a deeper level of praise with him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says this, rejoice always. And we've been singing it this morning. I mean, that was great, Rachel, your song choice. And nearly every single song is what it said. It's the sermon. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in? Yes, that's right. All circumstances. Whoa, Lord. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. Praise when surrounded. Because praise is the water the enemy drowns in. Oh. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. I'll praise because you're sovereign, praise because you reign, praise because you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise because you're faithful, praise because you're true. I'll praise because there's nobody greater than you.
Amen.
Whoa, I love that song. I love that song. Because when we praise, our downcast eyes are lifted up and the hope we had is restored and our expectations are raised and we are empowered. Yes. It's not always overnight. But you know, there's a weight of authority that comes from us as we praise in challenging circumstances. I think in nearly every sermon I've mentioned Corrie ten Boom. In a concentration camp. The weight of authority that woman carried out of that concentration camp in the heavenly realms was immense. And you may be going through tough times at the moment for whatever reason. I don't know all your circumstances. I know some of you are. But as you praise, there is an authority that is coming on you.
Yes.
In the middle of those tough times. We can all praise when it's rosy in the garden, can't we? And when it's all rainbows and daffodils. But you know, when it's a tough time and we keep praising, God does amazing things that we won't know until we get to heaven. So in Acts chapter 1, and again written by Luke, and in Acts chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus, this Jesus, amazing Jesus, was there, and the disciples gathered around him, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, the disciples before the cross, they'd seen this amazing Jesus who had healed people, raised people from the dead, healed lepers. I mean, he'd done amazing miracles. This was an amazing Jesus that they had. And then he died on the cross. And then he rose from the dead. It's not just amazing Jesus anymore. It is supercharged Jesus, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine the disciples then thinking, this is supercharged, amazing Jesus now. We have got a death-defeating, death-defying, immortal, nothing can stop him, supercharged, amazing Jesus. If what he did before was anything to go by, this supercharged Jesus, well, victory's on its way. It's victory time, everybody. Here comes Jesus, and they say, Lord, what are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, you. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. He says, it's up to you. It's up to you now. It's up to you. God says, I empower you. Does that sound familiar? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Does that not sound a bit like Luke chapter 4? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me. He's empowered me. He's saying to the disciples and to you and to me, he's saying now to proclaim good news to the poor. We are anointed now to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the prisoners, the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I loved it when Tom spoke, and it kind of blew my mind slightly, like it always does when Tom speaks, blew my mind slightly. A bit of a revelation from Isaiah chapter 9, that we are the increase of his government. Yes. What the? We are the increase of his government. And it's here. It began here, Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and somebody somewhere is going to get onto Acts chapter 2 at some point. We are the increase of his government and peace. God just put this phrase into my head, that God isn't just sovereign over us, he is sovereign through us.
Amen.
He isn't just sovereign over us. Wherever we go, whatever situation we're in, whatever relationship we're in, he is not only sovereign over us, he is sovereign through us. He rules and he reigns in this new warrior, new creation that he has created. We are established again to be God's representatives, anointed, that he would be sovereign through us, an empowered new creation, created to increase his kingdom, the cosmic gospel that Tom spoke about. Listen to it if you're not sure what we're talking about. It does sound a bit New Age, doesn't it? New warriors in a cosmic gospel. It's great that. It's like a sign. That could be a great sci-fi book, Tom. Maybe we should do that one. We are new warriors of a cosmic gospel. But that's what we are. That's what God is calling us to be, calling us to do. But it can be hard to accept that. That we could be empowered because I know me. I know things get overwhelming. And Peter knew what it felt like when he denied Jesus 3 times. You know, this Peter who said, I'm going to die for you, Jesus. I'm going to go anywhere, Jesus. With you. And he says, you know, you're going to deny me. And Peter does. He denies Jesus 3 times. It says in Luke's Gospel 22, he says, when he denied him for the 3rd time, it says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Whoa. What the? Looked straight at Peter. I think Peter needed that. There was a bit of pride in Peter, wasn't there? It's a bit like me, I can do it. I think there was compassion in Jesus' face. And Peter remembered, it says he went outside and wept bitterly. How do you come back from that? How do you come back from seeing your Lord and Savior that you promised loyalty to go to the cross and you're too scared to admit that you knew him, not just once, 3 times, and Jesus said you would do? He went outside and wept bitterly. How do you come back from that? You come back by having a breakfast around a campfire with Jesus.
Yes.
But Jesus says, do you love me? We go back to the prayer this morning that Lois prayed. It's about relationship, isn't it? It's about getting with Jesus. Jesus wants to reinstate you. Some of us need reinstating this morning. Some of us have not lived up to all that we know we are called to live up to. And Jesus wants to reinstate us and re-empower us. And it was the re-empowered Peter who stood up in Jerusalem, and the lips that he had used to deny Jesus were used to bring 3,000 into salvation in 1 day. God can turn it around. God can move things around. And the same Peter wrote in 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He turns mourning to dancing. He gives beauty for ashes. He turns shame into glory. He's the only one who can. He turns graves into gardens. He turns bones into armies. He turns seas into highways. He's the only one who can. I'm just going to, you know, sometimes we do need other people. Now, I don't want you to get the impression I'm saying it's just about Jesus. It is about Jesus. But, you know, sometimes Jesus anoints people, doesn't he? He anoints doctors and he anoints nurses and he anoints GPs and he anoints counselors. And I really hope that, you know, if you're in a place where you're desperate and where you're struggling and where you're feeling overwhelmed, don't struggle on your own. You know, through the Head Teacher Network, I have a regular meeting with a therapist. And it's good because she's not a Christian. So I talk about my faith and I see it as a little bit of a therapy for her as well. But, you know, it's so important because sometimes we're doing jobs which are tough jobs. And like in our country, it's like, therapist, what's wrong with you? But you know, it's just like so good to talk to somebody about how you are about my job. For you, it might be something else that you need to do. And we talk about my faith as well and we talk about various other things. But so if you need that, get it. Do it. Yeah, it's really important. But it's important that we do it with Jesus right there as the foundation and the cornerstone. So I'm going to finish by reading from Ephesians. And I'm going to go through two parts of Ephesians and we're just going to finish it there. And is it okay if we go into some more worship, Rachel? Because I might even dance. You never know. I'm feeling like it. So Ephesians chapter 2. I love Paul. He calls himself the worst of all sinners. In Timothy. And he's not far wrong, you know? He's not far. You look back at Paul, you kind of think, dodgy. And he says this, Ephesians chapter 2, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Amen. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Amen. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Here we go. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Every word is dynamite there. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word that turns our lives around. We thank you for your word, Lord, that turns our lives the right way up. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God. We pray that in our lives, your word wouldn't just go out, but Lord, it would be demonstrated. That, Lord, you would be sovereign through us today. When we go into our family situations, when we make those phone calls with family members, when we interact with people, when we go to the shops, when we go out this coming week into our workplaces or wherever we're doing or whatever we're doing, Lord God, we pray that you would not just be sovereign over us, but be sovereign through us, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would empower us. We can't empower ourselves. We have nothing of ourselves, Lord God. But in our weakness, Lord, in our weakness, your power is demonstrated, Lord Jesus. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because you are strong in me, Lord God. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that today, as we continue in our worship, that we would lift up our hands before you and say, Lord, we praise you in every circumstance. We rejoice in you in every circumstance. And as we do, we know that things change. That you bring about your salvation for us and for those through us. We don't want to just sit, Lord, under a cloud anymore. A cloud of negativity or a cloud of cursing or whatever it may be, Lord God. Make us into blessers. Make us into healers. Make us into those that will speak out your word in power. Make us those who will go into the dark places where no one else will go. Lord, help us to be people that live according to your word, with your anointing, to participate in the divine nature, to know that, Lord, you are in us and you want to work through us. What we're going to do now is we are going to come to the table, and we're going to come to the table in this time of worship. Is that okay if we do that now? Yeah, we're going to come to the table. And for those who are new to us, we